Let's go back to the political fallout from Brexit now, which looks set to claim the scalps of a British Prime Minister already, and the opposition Labour leader. David Cameron has announced his resignation, and now overnight, opposition MPs overwhelmingly passed a motion of no confidence in the Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn. This came after 2 days of mass resignations from the Labour front bench. Many of those MPs criticised Jeremy Corbyn for what they saw as his lacklustre advocacy in support of the Remain vote. So what next for British Labour and Jeremy Corbyn's leadership? Charles Lees is Professor of Politics at the University of Bath and a member of the British Labour Party. Charles Lees, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning.
So Jeremy Corbyn has lost this motion of no confidence resoundingly. His fellow MPs voted 172-40 against him. What happens now? Surely his future as Labour leader is untenable.
It's an interesting situation. The vote of no confidence is not binding and doesn't automatically trigger a leadership challenge. So it's up to the MPs who've voted no confidence in Corbyn to come up with some champion who will challenge Corbyn for the leadership of the Labour Party. It's worth remembering, though, that 40 votes in favour of Corbyn is more than he had in terms of nominations for the leadership last year. So he's not completely without support within the Parliamentary Labour Party, but it does appear that he's lost the confidence of the vast majority of his colleagues in Parliament.
Well, that what you just told us suggests he never really had it. Is that true too?
I think that's probably right. The Corbyn tradition within the Labour Party has always been in a minority within the Parliamentary Labour Party. The way they see the purpose of the Parliamentary Labour Party as, in a sense, an adjunct to the wider Labour movement in the country is anathema to many Labour parliamentarians. There's no love lost there. And over the last year, whilst he's been in office, it's been felt that his leadership has not really cut the mustard in terms of the adversarial culture of the House of Commons.
And leaving that aside, the direct criticism from these MPs who voted for a vote of no confidence and the 43 of his senior front benchers who've quit over the past few days is that his performance during the EU referendum campaign was lacklustre, to put it kindly. How would you describe it? Were you happy with it?
I'd say it was lacklustre is actually quite a kind description of his performance for the Remain campaign. But it's not surprising because Corbyn comes from a tradition of the Benite left, which has always been quite hostile to what was then the European Community in the 70s and now the European Union. Someone like Chris Bryant claims that actually when he asked him directly, Jeremy Corbyn directly, how he voted in the referendum, Corbyn would not confirm that he actually personally voted Remain. So he's not really a in the wool European. That particular strand of left Labour politics has always viewed the European Union as a rich capitalist club. So in many ways, it's not surprising that he didn't really summon up the enthusiasm that he might have done for a cause that was closer to his heart.
Well, that puts him, I suppose, in touch with a lot of those apparently Labour voters and backers across England who voted for Europe to quit. So, I mean, what happens now? Does it go to a vote of the whole party membership as it does in normal times, and is the next that can't happen, I suppose, without a challenger? Why hasn't anyone challenged yet?
Well, it's early doors. The thing that that a lot of people are waiting on is legal advice. The Labour General Secretary, Ian McNicol, has asked for really sort of specific legal advice about how the party's rule book allows the challenge to Corbyn to take place. Now, parliamentarians who are not Corbyn fans argue that Corbyn will have to, in a sense, be re-nominated by the Parliamentary Labour Party. Corbyn's own people argue that that's actually not true, that the rule in question, Rule 4.2 of the rule book, allows Corbyn to, in a sense, be in place and be challenged. So there's actually a legal dimension to this which hasn't been clarified yet. But assuming that it goes ahead, it will go ahead over the summer. The intention is for it to take place before a conference in September, and with the aim of having a new leader in place, if that's the outcome, before the Conservatives elect a new leader also at the end of September, beginning of October.
But Charles, just to be clear, that's a vote of the whole membership of the Labour Party? All its members?
Under the new rules, it's one member, one vote, using an additional vote AV system, which you'll be familiar with in Australia.
So that's hundreds of thousands of people voting, is it?
That's right. It's all the Labour members plus affiliated trade union supporters plus registered supporters, which was this new category of affiliated supporter, which was so influential last year in electing Corbyn in the first place.
Yes. And just very briefly, we are out of time, but if he gets elected again, and on that basis you think he might, who's going to be supporting him on his parliamentary benches?
It's an absolute unholy mess for the Labour Party. I mean, essentially, I think the only way out of this, if Corbyn can't be shifted, is some form of split of the party, because clearly the parliamentary Labour Party, who are primarily social democratic, moderate, pro-European, have a completely different take on what the party's for to the hundreds of thousands of new members that have come into the party over the last year or so.
Split. Charles Lees, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Charles Lees is Professor of Politics at the University of Bath and a member of the British Labour Party.